The Rich Fool, Chapter 53. Are you happy, boys and girls? Are you satisfied? Really satisfied? To quickly answer these questions is not so easy, is it? And still, the answer is no, for really you are not satisfied or happy. One is anxious to have this and another something else. Most of you desire something. Yes, you cannot give it a name, but it must be something magnificent, something very nice. There sits a boy who would like to be rich. Oh, if only he had money, a lot of money, he would be happy. He could buy whatever he saw and desired. Over there sits a girl who is anxious to have very nice expensive clothing or costly playthings. So many thoughts whirl around in your minds. So many desires spring up in your hearts. It is true, you do not talk about them with anyone. Oh no, but you can lay upon your bed at night and have such nice thoughts about them. And with these grand thoughts, you finally fall asleep. You often even dream about these things. Isn't it true sometimes? Are there any of you who do not brood about all these things, but who would gladly have something altogether different, and who is not able to sleep at night because he is so unhappy, sighing because he must die and cannot die? Alas, probably one or a few, but most of you do not give it a thought. And still, we pointed out to you in the previous chapter the necessity of one thing. One thing is needful. Just imagine you were rich, very rich, so you could buy everything you desired. Would you be happy? Why, no. If you should become very sick, what enjoyment would you have of your nice playthings or your expensive clothing? Nothing. You would not look at your playthings, and your nice clothing, of which you were so proud, would hang in the closet. No one would desire those things at such a time. And if you had to die, would you be able to take all those things with you? Of course not. You would have to leave everything behind. Do not desire, first of all, the things of this world, but ask for the eternal blessing. It is not I who says it. We read it in God's Word. It is the Lord Jesus who says it. Listen, and I will relate it to you. The Lord Jesus was no longer in Judea and Jerusalem, but he had gone to the other side of Jordan. Centuries ago, Sihon and Og, who were defeated by Moses, lived there. David went there when he had to flee from Absalom. Absalom was slain there by Joab and his servants while he hung in the oak. This country was called Perea. Jesus went to Perea because the Pharisees in Jerusalem lay in wait for his life. For the present, he is safe there. See him walking with his disciples over the roads on the other side Jordan. A great multitude follows him. They want to hear his preaching, and they want to see his miracles and signs. Jesus spoke about many things, but I will not discuss them all because they still would be too difficult for you to understand. Suddenly, one from among this group of people who surrounded him cries out, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Thus, there was an inheritance which had to be divided between two brothers. Their father and mother had died. one of these two men is not satisfied with what he had received. That is why he goes to Jesus and asks if Jesus will concern himself with this affair. The Lord Jesus is requested to command the brother of this man to divide the inheritance honestly. But the Lord's immediate answer is, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" It is as if the Lord Jesus says, "Man, your thoughts of me are not correct. I came not upon this earth to rule over worldly goods, but I came to deliver my people from the dominion of sin and the devil." The Lord Jesus turns himself to the listening multitude and says admonishingly, "O people, do not think in the first place about money and goods. Do not be covetous or greedy. To covet is a great sin." And then he tells a parable. Listen attentively. The Lord begins thus. "One time there was a rich man, a very rich man, who had fields and vineyards. He had barns in which the harvest, the fruit of the field, was neatly stored each year. He lived in a large, beautiful house. No doubt he had many servants and maids who worked for him in the field or maintained his home. One year, the summer was extra productive. Sufficient rain fell, and there was pleasant weather for many days when the sun shone on the beautiful fields. Wheat and barley were sown in these fields of this rich man, and the vines were full of bunches of young grapes. How well everything grew this year! Abundantly! The wheat scarcely ever stood so high, and so many grapes had not been seen for many years. The fruit trees were full of delicious, juicy fruit. Every day, the rich man walked through his large fields and vineyards. He would wring his hands with delight, and his eyes would sparkle. He thought, 'Ah, all is well. I will get richer than I am. Probably it will make me the richest man in the entire world.' Did he think of dying, of death and eternity? Did he ask for forgiveness? Why, no. Those thoughts did not enter the mind of this rich man. He had no time for such thoughts. His wealth was everything to him. He would prefer money and a good harvest to a new heart. You too? He walks about his farm smiling with gladness because of the rich harvest. He comes to the barns in which he soon will store it all. Suddenly he stands still. "Really, those barns are too small," he mumbles softly. "The entire harvest will never fit in them, that is sure. What must I do now?" He ponders and brushes his hand over his forehead. Suddenly a plan arises in his mind. "Yes, yes," he says cheerfully, "I will break down those old small barns and build new ones. They must be much larger and with more room in them so the new harvest can be stored in them." With this thought, he hastens to his home. Probably some of you are thinking, why doesn't the rich man build a few barns next to the others? This can be done, can it not? Certainly you are right, but he doesn't want to do so, indeed not. Larger and better barns must be built. The old barns must be broken down. He has enough money. The people will admire those large new barns and see how wealthy he is. They will be filled with astonishment and will exclaim, "Isn't this man rich and outstanding?" Merrily and cheerfully he enters his luxurious home, which is like a palace. He thinks, "I no longer need to work so hard. Now I can eat and drink. I can feast and be merry, and for I have much goods. I have enough for many years to come." That night, when he finally went to bed, he lay thinking about it. Does he bend his knees before going to bed? Does he acknowledge God for those rich, very rich blessings? He doesn't even think of God. He only thinks about his riches. Oh, the people will think he is a wise and sensible man. But God does not say he is wise and sensible. God says he is a fool. Why? Because that same night he died suddenly. He did not expect death. See him lying upon his magnificent soft bed, pale, cold, and dead. Outside, the wind is whistling softly over the ripening wheat. The fully loaded stalks bend low, but he will not eat one grain of it. He is dead. Another will mow his fields of wheat. Another will eat his wheat. The wind also blows through his vineyards. The large bunches of grapes swing gently back and forth. But he never again will pick one bunch. Never again will he put one grape into his mouth, for he is dead. He could take nothing, no, not one thing with him. What does he now have with all his wealth? Nothing. He had to appear before God's judgment seat. After that, he was cast into eternal perdition. This rich man was a fool, a great fool, for he did not seek nor serve God during his lifetime. He did not have a new heart, neither did he ask for it. His many sins never were pardoned. He only thought about his riches and not about God. Other people came to live on his farm. Other people harvested what he sowed. He was buried in the cold, dark earth, and soon no one thought of him anymore. He was forgotten. Boys and girls, this is the parable which Jesus told. By means of this parable, he warned the people against covetousness and greediness. Did the dissatisfied man understand this parable applied to him? The Lord said, "Do not always think of clothing and food. First think about God. Also think about death. Lament because of your sins and ask God if he will forgive them. The ravens are fed by the Lord. The birds do not sow. Still they eat. Look at the flowers and examine the lilies of the field. You never saw such brilliant colors. God takes care of the grass on the fields. God cares for plants and trees. God cares for the animals of the earth and the fowl of the air. God also will care for you. Seek the kingdom of God first. First of all, seek peace with God." The Lord Jesus said much more than this. He said we ought always to be watchful. We must be watchful so that death does not overtake us unexpectedly. In this way, the Lord spoke to the listening multitude. However, the Lord also speaks to us in the same way. Do you lie awake at night thinking about riches and honor? If your answer is yes, then you are a fool. What if you must die this night? Can you meet God? Can you die? Do you know whether the Lord Jesus also suffered for your sins? Is he also your Savior? O children, think more often about these things. Ask for conversion. Plead with the Lord for the pardoning of your guilt. If you are poor and you are lying upon an old creaking bed just under the shingles of the roof, this is no disgrace. If your clothing is old and worn, and you have no playthings like other children, do not murmur. The riches of this world do not make a person happy, but only the riches in God can make one eternally happy. The riches of the world are temporal, but the riches in God are eternal. Never forget it.